I'm like,
so
now I find out. Okay, now you see. Oh well. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's get back to that because that's where we've been at on faith. And so Hebrews chapter 11, 30 and 31. Let's just review this real quick. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days, and by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, if you want to see somebody in the Old Testament get saved as close as us, go back and look at Rahab, because she admits who God is and she confesses Him out loud. And so that is the closest thing to an Old Testament salvation you're going to find. And so she used her own mouth to confess who God was. And so she did that because of faith. Okay? So those two go hand in hand. Just like the crossing of the Red Sea, the people went by faith because they all went. You didn't see any of them staying behind. And they went by, can you imagine? You're like, well, okay, Pharaoh's after us. But can you imagine going down into an ocean with the walls on both sides? And to us, it's like, well, that's a no-brainer, do it. Well, what if that was you and you were on the beach and you're like, I think I might be a little afraid of what's going to happen because, you know, you can't see through the other side. 8 miles is a long way. And so that's quite a deal. And so it's and a wall of water on both sides. And you're like, you know, I'm sure Moses probably had this people. Yeah, we left it. We left Egypt. And we thought things would be good. And the next thing you know, now we're crossing an ocean. I mean, come on. But they did it by faith. And so it mentions that in the Bible. By faith, they did that. And so, in fact, go back to verse 29. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Okay. And so we're going to get up to our next person. So I want to just read Hebrews 11, starting in verse 32. And we're getting close to the end of the chapter, but yet there's a lot of people packed in this, so it's going to take us several weeks to go through these. And so let's start off in verse 32. Hebrews 11:32 says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. And I'm like, if you're ever down and you need a pick-me-up, this is the part of Hebrews you need to read here. Because when you get done with this, you're either crying or you're ready to charge a mountain. Because this, I mean, this is fantastic. This is incredible. Verse 34. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, and they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sewn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they made without us should not be made perfect. And so you see here is this group of people in the Old Testament, which also some of these people I read are in the New Testament, of what they went through to serve the Lord. And so when you're having a pity party and you're thinking it's bad with you, read this list and go, okay, so have I been thrown in with the lions yet? Have I had to cross an ocean yet? Have I had to do this? And yet, these people did it because of faith. Okay? But I want to go back and look at a man by the name of Gideon. Now, Gideon, you guys have read of Gideon before, right? What's his name to fame? What do you remember about Gideon?
The fleece.
The fleeces, right? So he didn't have much faith, right? Because he throws this fleece out and says, okay, God, make it wet and the ground dry. And then the next night he goes, okay, no, I better double check that. Let's make it dry and the ground wet. And you're sitting there going, Gideon, man of no faith, what is going on with you? And yet we see him in the book of Hebrews mentioned in the chapter on God's faith. So we need to go back and study him out a little bit, because when we first think of Gideon, he's not the first guy we think about. Faith is not popping up in our thinking, or at least not in mine. Okay? And so let's look at, he's in chapter 11:32, because it says, "And what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon." Now I want you to realize, here it's spelled G-E-D-E-O-N. Now, when I was just going to spell Gideon, I spell it with a G-I. Well, that's Old Testament spelling. So Gideon with an I, G-I-D-E-O-N, is the spelling that you're going to see in the Old Testament. So one, I'm assuming, is Hebrew, and the other is Greek. Okay? And so I just thought I'd throw that out there, because for some of you people that like to tell me I'm spelling things wrong, I'll probably spell it one way and the other way, so just give me a little break here, okay? So let's go back, and we're going to look at him a little bit, back all the way in the book of Judges. So let's go back to Judges, chapter 5. In fact, the very end of chapter 5. Let's see if I can get to the spot. Joshua, Judges. So basically, we're going to see him in chapter 6 through 8. But I'm going to read today, starting out in Judges 5:31 to Judges 6, chapter 10. And we're going to back up and see what we can pick up from that. So in Judges 5:31 says, "So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. Now pay attention to these numbers. Chapter 6, verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian." How many years?
Seven
years. "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out, or cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." And so I'm going to stop right there. And so we're right at the very beginning of Gideon. So I'm going to introduce him next week. But right now what I have is, on our handout, I have the situation. What is the situation? So I'm going to try to paint the picture today of what the situation is. And under A in your handout, is the first blank is 40. 40 goes in your blank. 40 years of rest to 7 years of survival. survival goes in your third blank or fourth blank. Here it's 40 years of rest to 7 years of survival. So I want to pay attention to those numbers. So back in 31 it says, and the land had rest 40 years. Now if you've read your Bible before, you know the book of Judges. Israel is just like a kid. They do what's right, and then all of a sudden, adults do the same thing. They do what's right, and then they go AWOL. And so Israel does that over and over and over, all throughout the Bible. But in the book of Judges, specifically, do that. And you're sitting there and you're going, what is wrong with these people? Why can't they get their act together? But yet you look at our churches, our nation, and even us, we do the same thing today. So 40 years of rest to 7 years of survival. And they had 40 years of rest, and now it's like they're trying to survive. They're hiding in dens and in caves. They're hiding in the mountains. They're hiding in the strongholds of Israel just to try to survive. So where else do you see 40 years and 7 years together in the Bible? So you're asking good questions today. I don't know who said that, but I heard it. So let's go to Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4. Genesis 7 and verse 4. So I'm going to look at a few places where we see both of these numbers together. Genesis 7, 4 says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So here's a passage where we see the two numbers together. And you're probably thinking, Bob, you've lost your mind. What's the big deal about 40 and 7? Well, just hang with me. Okay, so here's one spot. You see it. So then I want you to turn over to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And verse 22, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now I've always wondered about that. Why in the world is that last little statement thrown in there?
Hebron is Jerusalem,
isn't it? No, it's south of Jerusalem. So yeah, it's still there today. But it throws that, it's always thrown that in. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan. Okay, drop down to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Okay, so they're real close. You have a 7 and you have a 40. Okay, and you're like, well, Bob, it's still not showing up. Okay, well, let's keep going. Turn over to 2 Kings. Chapter 8 and verse 3. Okay. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Okay. Okay, let me see my notes here. 2 Kings 8, 3, drop down to verse 9. So Hazael went to meet him, and he took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him, and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So it's clear as mud right now, right? 40 and 7, why they're connected. Still haven't got there, have I? Okay, we got to move a little farther. So turn over to 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 1 says, in the 70th year of Jehu, Joash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Okay. And so again, I'm not getting a whole lot of connections, but if we went back and studied each one of these out, I think we'd find a bigger connection of what we got. So I know you've hung with me so far, so you're doing good. So in the Bible, let me just stop and say this. In the Bible, 40 is a certain number. It means something. For those of you going through D2, have you done numbers yet? Okay. Okay, for all the rest of you, what, do you guys know what number 40 in the Bible represents?
Testing.
Okay, so we know that. Okay, so we know 40 is a year of testing. What about 7 years in the Bible? Or seven?
Perfection.
Okay, and more than that, what else has the number 7 in it that just pops out?
Tribulation.
Okay. Tribulation's what I'm looking for. Okay. So 40 is the number of testing in the Bible. And we can see that in Exodus 24:18. So let's go and look at that. And again, I'm just getting some things thrown out today that we'll work on the next few weeks. So let's go to Exodus 24:18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Okay. And so Goliath challenged Israel. Jason talked about that yesterday at the devotion at the fundraiser. He challenged Israel for 40 days. Okay. Jesus was tempted 40 days. So when we read our Bible and you read numbers, pay attention, okay? And so we see 40, and that we see 7 is the number of years in Israel's tribulation. It's also laid out in Daniel's 70th week. And so what do we have here with the story of Gideon that we're getting ready to do? What we're seeing here is we're seeing that this is a story or a picture of the tribulation that is yet to happen. So when we read the story of Gideon, we need to read it with a tribulation period in mind. Okay? Just when you think you get the story down, it's a little deeper. Okay? And more importantly, the story of Gideon and what's going on with the Israelites is basically what the Jews will be going through in the tribulation. And I just wonder, the Jews that are going through the tribulation, will they read the story of Gideon in the Old Testament and get any correlation from it? I don't know. But I know it pictures it, okay? So not only is it a picture of the tribulation, Gideon, the man that we think doesn't have a lot of faith, is a type of Christ, as are the rest of the judges in the book of Judges. So he is a type of Christ. So you have a tribulation and you have things going on with Israel and you have a Savior coming. And in this instance, it's going to be Gideon. Again, just a picture of what's going to happen in the future. So in this story, we have the Israelites are living in fear in their own country. They're living in caves and in strongholds and in hills. And Gideon, when we'll get to it next week, is threshing some wheat. And in fact, I have a few minutes, so let's go back and look at this. And let me see here. Did I read that yet in the passage? I haven't yet, right? Let me get back to Judges. Judges chapter 6, right? I'm looking for the passage in 6 where it talks about he's threshing wheat. Somebody help me out here.
11.
Okay. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So where is he threshing the wheat?
By the wine press.
Is that normal?
No.
So why is he threshing wheat by the wine press? And I know you're going to tell me, well, to hide it from the Midianites. Would the Midianites be expecting anything going on at the wine press during wheat season? No. Wrong time of year. And so the point I'm trying to make here is, you know, Gideon, he's threshing wheat, where? By the winepress. He's hiding the wheat from the Midianites because they're coming in and taking all their food, we saw in the story. And it's the wrong time of the year to press grapes, and the enemy would not be expecting the winepress to be a place of harvest at that time of year. So times are desperate, okay? And so I'm just throwing out the situation. And so Israel, be on your handout, had done evil back in verse 1, for they forsook God and served the gods of the Amorites, in verse 10. And they were worshiping, who do you think they're worshiping? What god do you think they're worshiping? Which the ones are always the main one in the Old Testament? Baal, the worshiping Baal. And you go, well, how do you know that? Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Chapter 6 and verse 25. That says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. So we're going to see that next week. Again, I'm just trying to get the story going. Israel had done evil, and then God let the Midianites come in for 7 years, causing havoc on them. They're hiding their food, they're hiding in the wilderness, and why was that? Because they were worshiping Baal. God says, okay, you guys want to worship Baal? I'm just going to pull my hand of blessing off of you and just let you get what you deserve. And then for 7 years, they're not just under bondage to the Midianites here. They're running and hiding for their lives. What's going to happen to the Jew in the tribulation? What's going to happen to anybody in the tribulation? You're going to have to run. You're going to have to hide. Okay? And so we see that Israel does the evil. And then the last part on your handout talks about the oppressors. So I'm going to try to get through this real quickly. The oppressors in this passage are, number one, the Midianites. Midianites goes in your blank. Okay? Number one, the Midianites. They are descendants of Abraham and Keturah. And you'll see this if you're taking notes, Genesis 25, 1 through 6. You know, that dude Abraham would just have saved a lot of problem if he had just had children with his wife. Not concubines and not this Keturah lady. Okay?
Because Keturah after Sarah had
died. Yes, he did. Okay, and here's what's always blown my mind. Abraham was really past age to have kids with Sarah. Mm-hmm. What in the world's going on now? After she dies, he takes another wife and has more kids. And I'm like, huh? Where'd that come from? But again, it causes problems. Okay, and out of that relationship, we get the Midianites. Okay, in fact. Okay, I know you guys are just either tired or looking at me funny, or I have a funny look one, I don't know. So we'll just stop here for a minute. Let's go back and look at Genesis 25, because I know you're like, okay, Bob, you got to show us this. Go back to Genesis 25, and we're going to read 1 through 6. Genesis 25, 1 through 6. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian. Okay? And Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan begot Sheba, and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ahiram, and Letushim and Leumim, and the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanak and Abida and Eldai. All these were the children of Keturah, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Okay? But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward. So he sent these concubines and sons eastward into the east country and sent them away from Isaac. So again, this is a real good story when you have kids and one kid or one group of kids are favored over the other one. It's going to cause problems in the family, right? Boy, you want to learn that big time? Go back and look at Abraham. Because all of his sons that he sent away that was not heir with Isaac, and we realize why Isaac is favored, because the line of Christ is going through him, and he was to be the descendant that God used out of Abraham, and his other sons were not part of that, but yet it caused a strife in the family. Okay, and the first group was the Midianites that we saw back here in Judges. But we also saw the Amalekites. Okay, so Amalekites goes in your second blank. The oppressors were the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children. Number three is the children of the east. And where did Abraham send his sons?
To the east.
And so we're getting a picture here. The people that are oppressing Israel during the time of Judges, during this time of Gideon, is this group of people. And to cut things short, they're the same group of people that's fighting Israel today. And they're the same group of people that's going to be fighting Israel when? In the tribulation. Do you see why the story of Gideon is a picture of the tribulation? So there's a lot more we're going to get into, but I'm going to stop right there today because I'm getting ahead of myself. But there's some neat things that I can pull out of that. But again, when you're reading through the Bible and you're reading the story and you go, okay, so what's the big deal about the Midianites? What's the big deal about the Amalekites? Follow them through the Bible and see if they pop up anywhere else. And when you start connecting the dots, then you begin to realize, oh, okay. So this picture of this story with Gideon in the Old Testament is really a story of what the Israelites are going to be going through in the tribulation, and you can connect them together. Okay? So I'm going to stop there, and we'll pray, and then we'll pick this up next week, and we'll go from there. But I always love just finding those little details out in the Bible. It's like, you know, okay, where did they cross the Red Sea at? Is there any historical evidence there? Yes. And they find the pillar on both sides. The pillar is still on the peninsula side, but the pillar they found on the Saudi Arabia side has been taken away. And who controls that area? These same people right here. And they want to deny Israel. And so what would they do? They're going to take away any evidence they have. So it's just interesting how it all lines up. So let's pray. We'll call it a day and then go from there. The very first blank?
Mm-hmm. On our handout.
Oh, I had not got there. God continues to list in his chapter on heroes of the faith, those who showed incredible faith for our example. Okay. And let me just read you that verse, Romans 15:4. I should know it, because I have it memorized, but I'll mess it up when I'm in front of people. So Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So everything we have in the Old Testament is for our learning and to give us hope. Then when we go through situations, we can look back at that and they give us an example. Thank you for asking me that, though. So our Bible is for our example. Let's pray and we'll get going. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for all the many blessings you give each one of us, Lord. We see all the things going on in our life and the situations that we have health-wise and things that go wrong. And Lord, we always think on those. But Lord, we don't think about the good things you do and the answered prayers that you give us. And so we thank you for that. I want to pray for everyone that's in here, for our families, for our children. I pray that all of us would be obedient and following you. And I pray that we would be an example to the people around us. And I pray that you would give us the words to say to the people around us, whether it's strangers, whether it's family, whether it's our own children, Lord. And I pray that we would be a good example for Christ for all of those. And I ask you to give us a great week, Lord, and bring us back next week and just guide us and direct us in Christ's name. Amen.